Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. So for today's special intro, it takes one homeless person to know, appreciate, and respect another homeless person. And so for today, we have Inga Hunter, who was homeless at the age of 17 and actually set up her first business, which just makes me giggle. And the intros in this business, that this podcast, don't always make me giggle because people come from trauma and tragedy. But I do think it's hysterically funny that Inga started selling cocktails to club goers, because that is so quintessentially British, because you do just want, I mean, it's how we all grew up. It's how my kids grew up. And I can just see the absolute intelligence in that. So if you don't know, I'm really enjoying this. But I don't know why she did that. And I don't know how she ended up homeless. So let's meet Inga, and then we'll find out more about her. And the fact that she now runs a business with 14 staff and is looking for her billion-dollar unicorn valuation and is building stuff. And I frigging love all this shit. I love particularly women. Anyone, I'll take you all. But I love women that kick the butt out of expectation, because I don't think you should do what you're told. I don't think you should ever do what someone tells you to do. I don't even think you should do what you feel like you should do. I think you should do what you bloody want to do and keep doing it and never do anything different, because it changes the world every time a woman does what she wants to do. So it's your job to go and do what you want to do. Now, apart from that little rant, hi Inga, welcome.
Thank you for having me. You've given me goosebumps giving that intro.
Oh, no, I'm so excited. So why were you homeless at 17?
Well, the pre-life is very messy. You don't get to that point without there being lots and lots of mess. And I don't tend to go into it because it involves people that I don't really want to include in my life journey. But it was very quick, really. Lots of kind of volatility happened at home. And then suddenly I realized that I'd been, well, I sort of kicked out, ran away, couldn't go back without any shoes on, nothing, and ended up carrying on going to college, my sleeping on the street for two nights it was, and my college form tutor noticed very, very quickly that something was going up. So she swept me up, asked me what was going on. I told her I actually didn't have anywhere to sleep. And so she bundled me off to a social kind of support community thing. Yeah. And then literally that afternoon had care papers and I was walking up the steps of a young women's homeless hostel in Cambridge. So there's a lot of a journey that goes into explaining why that happened, but it's something that I just kind of sat there and move on with. And that's where my journey begins.
Can we have this conversation for a minute? Because I've been in the public eye since I was in my mid-20s. But I grew up in a community where I was very much in the public eye growing up as a child anyway, because of my parents. But can I just point this out? Because it's a good time. I don't think anyone is entitled to the details of my life. I don't. I think that the things that I'm so intensely private, and I think that what you've just done is something to be really lauded. I really applaud you for it, because I think it's really important to sanitize life so you only talk about the crap you want to talk about. Nobody's entitled to know anything about you. They're not entitled to judge you. They're not entitled. This is my life is not entertainment. So I don't see why I should talk about it. And I don't think you need to ever. It is enough to say, here's what I want to tell you. And I'm really proud of you for doing that. And you keep doing that. And people that I understand being nosy, there are things I'm insanely nosy about. Put any of my teenage children in front of me and my other, we're going to have some really sheer nosiness. But I don't think gentle nosiness is the same as picking over the detritus of my life so you can form judgments about me. And as women, we should be very careful what we expose and let out. Because I think it really matters to keep something that is just yours. So go you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm all for talking about the experiences of as soon as I stepped in that homeless hostel and beyond. But yeah, no, it's just messy. It's just
Yeah,
not.
and fuck that. It's nobody else's, oops, it's nobody else's business but yours, right? And I've had to work out, and everybody who has a public figure of any time will tell you this, that there's a version of you that's yours. There's a version of you that is the one that will show up. There's always three versions. There's the one that you keep for you, then there's the version that shows up around work and you know, wait, and then there's the public version. And
Yeah.
it's really important to keep those ones and understand where you are at all times, because the more information people have about you, the more they can hurt you with it.
That's true. So, yeah, that's true. Great insight.
Anyway, back to your the hostel. So you're there in the hostel thinking, oh my God, and you've got how much of college left?
I still had, well, probably close to a year yet left of college, but the college was a good hour's walk away. It was still in Cambridge, but the other side of Cambridge. Or I could get a bus fare, and the bus fare was £3.60 a day, but I only had £4 a week to live on. So what, one of the things that people don't understand about homelessness is that you still have to pay for, you still have to pay a little bit of board, you still have to pay washing tokens for the laundry machine. You get given benefits and stuff, but you really don't have a lot. So I had to make a decision very quickly about making more money. And there's plenty ways to make money in that kind of situation, not all of them legal. You get taught very quickly how to make money. But I decided I knew someone who could sell me alcohol, and then I was already working in restaurant, already part of the kind of the nighttime scene. And so I decided that I would bottle up cocktails, shitty Long Island iced cocktails, put them in milkshake cartons, and went and sold them. So in Cambridge, they have what are called Mayballs. They have big,
Yes, huge. Oh my God, I've been to a couple of those.
yes, but you have to queue up outside,
Yeah.
right? And there's always these hour-long queues, like hours out. Everyone's looking beautiful all along the street. And even though everything as soon as you step inside is free, you know, punts full of
Yeah.
beer, champagne flowing, everyone in that queue wants a drink. And so I used to go up and down selling drinks, £15 for a Long Island iced tea. And
Are you serious? That is hysterical. Oh my God, that is like club prices right there.
it worked. And then I went round all the nightclubs as well and did the same thing.
I bloody love that. Wait, I need
I
to
made
break this down a
money.
bit more. People making money makes me so happy. Hang on, revenue streams are my jam. Milk cartons?
Yeah, because
Milkshake cartons. Where did you get those from?
I got them for free from one of the bars that I knew because they'd bought a load and they just didn't want them.
And
So,
these people did not know what is in these cartons, and they still bought them.
yeah. I'm quite a good salesperson.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. I bet you are. I
No, I'm like,
love that.
do you want one? And they'd be like, yeah. And they said, well, don't you want to get one for your friend? You know, you're all here. It's gonna take you at least an hour to get in. I've seen the queue, it's really long.
And how were you carrying them to and from the queues? Did you have like, I feel like you with that ice cream trolleys, you know, the ones where you push them along.
No, I had Tesco bags and I dumped them behind a wall. There's a place called the Round Church, and I dumped them behind the wall and I had a black tray. And so I'd load up a black tray and walk and be in like a black shirt, black trousers, looking like I was sort of a part of what was supposed to be there.
I love that. How long did you do that for? And you must have made a lot of money at that.
Yeah, I made quite a bit of money. I think I did it. It wasn't a really long time period of my life, maybe 6, 7 months I did
Enough to
it.
get past.
Yes, enough to turn 18 because I was
Yes.
underage. Got an alcohol license, and then I moved that and changed into mobile cocktail events. Because lots of what I found was lots of the bars where I was getting sort of sale and return alcohol from, all of my bits from, they were getting inquiries over the bar for events that they weren't interested in. So I started picking up those, bought a really, really heavy steel bar off of someone and decided to start trying to do mobile cocktail bars.
Okay, a steel bar to hit people with or to serve cocktails on?
No, it was so heavy. to serve cocktails on. I used to ask my friend if they would load it in their car with me and take it with me and drop me off, and they did. And yes, and then that grew into mobile cocktail bar. And
And
that
you go park that where? At events?
At events, yeah. So
people would just pay you for the whole evening that way. So that's even a better revenue stream because there's security in it.
Yeah. If you had a wedding, corporate event, you wanted a bar there, I'd be the person that would turn up.
I love that. How long did you do that for?
That was a couple of years, actually. Maybe probably three, because so I college and then I went to university. And I did 1 year of university in London, which I didn't enjoy because my business was already thriving in the UK, in Cambridge. So I had to keep coming back. So I came back to Anglia, Cambridge, finished at Anglia Ruskin. And in the second year, fell pregnant with my firstborn. And it was when she was around about 6 months, I decided to pivot into event planning instead of pulling up with the car, with the bar.
How old were you?
When I was doing that.
Yeah, when you got pregnant.
21.
That was intended, the pregnancy.
Oh no, she's a lovely surprise.
Okay, let's go for a quick break and then we'll be back. And I want to talk about motherhood and business, actually.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. So you're 21 and you have a baby girl.
Yeah.
And are you alone or are you in a relationship?
No, with a in a relationship, yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And are you a better mother because of what has happened?
I think so. I think, I used to have to take her to my university lectures and I'd be breastfeeding in the middle of lectures and the college were really, really good. They said, do you want to stop? But I just wanted to carry on. Otherwise I knew
you wouldn't go back.
No. But she's always just had to muck in. So, and I think when I look at her now, she's 11 going on 12 and she's very good at just cracking on. She's very sure-willed. She's a lovely child. She used to get handed off to all different people.
Yeah, she's very adaptable.
Yeah, she was definitely a village-grown child. I think the experiences have helped and the way that she was brought up helped. But I think ultimately, I think being a bit more of a younger mum helps sometimes because you can keep up. She can slot in. She's not, you know, she used to come and sit behind the bar when I was doing events. And she'd come to when I was doing sort of big events, weddings, big corporate events, she'd come and sit in on the setup and stuff. So and it, I think having her a bit younger, not that it was intended, but I think that helped to have that kind of a, you're just going to have to muck in kind of attitude.
And I find that, because I've been a single parent almost all my adult life and I took the kids everywhere because I found that as long as they were with you, they didn't really care what else was going on.
Yeah.
Mine have turned up to venture capitalists. They've turned up to speaking gigs. They've turned up to, I remember doing this massive speaking gig. There were like a million people in the audience. They probably weren't. They're probably about 500,000. It felt like a shit ton. And I remember looking down and I had my children just at the bottom of the stage going, oh, you know, like this. So they've turned up to everything. So I'm a big fan of that. I take them all the time. And I think it's really good for them.
Yeah.
They've gone from TV studios to sitting, and then on your way out, you're like, oh, don't forget the kids, grab them, and then you go to the next place, sort of thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I think that's really, really good for them to do all that because it makes them, I don't know what it is, it somehow makes them calmer kids, but much more focused and more adaptable.
Yeah.
Because they've just seen so many different circumstances. They're not kind of closeted.
Yeah, and they see you doing it, I think, instead of just being carted off here or there or just sort of sitting around. Yeah,
or seeing you in the evening, not having any idea what you do. My daughter, my youngest, we were having a conversation and she said, I thought everybody's mum was like that. I was like what? She was like, this badass. I was like, my daughter thinks I'm a badass. You know, and she goes, I thought everyone's mum was like that and I didn't understand. And she's just this earnest conversation. She goes, so I talked to my friends and I'm like, but what do your mothers do? Do they not do this? Because she said, you were all, and it's really lovely that they don't know any different. So your daughter thinks like this about you because she doesn't know any different.
Yeah. I mean, she wants to be prime minister.
Well, there you go. She couldn't do a worse job, really, could she? So I vote for that. I'm like, let's get her campaign funded now.
Yeah.
And moved on, because I'm a big fan of that. Go, girl. So you've turned this into event planning. And so it sounds like what you've done is taken necessity, taken necessity, found a way to look after yourself and pay for yourself, found a way to be alone doing this, because that's something that I remember having to do, just always being alone and thinking there was no back behind you, which is a really unique place to be because it makes you a very different person, I think. And then you've gone off and taken this ad hoc business and actually solidified it into event planning and made it, what's the word I'm looking for? Not serious. You've kind of legitimized it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Here's what I actually do. And then what happens?
So then I got pregnant with my second, who was also a surprise, but more of a normal age. And I was in the hospital. I used to be able to attract really, really kind of big clients. I had, my last wedding was an oil broker daughter. She was spending half a mil on this wedding. And I was in the hospital, just had a cesarean, and she rang me. She said, I can't decide between duck egg blue cushions and baby blue cushions. And she was buying 200 of these cushions for her wedding, which is a normal thing in that kind of, just to chuck them away after. It's like normal in that.
They've all been used, so we're good.
Yes. But I found myself in this situation where I just had this, literally had come out of surgery maybe 6 hours previous. And I was like, why the fuck am I gone from doing what I did and surviving, and now I'm just helping loads of really rich people spend money on stuff that I don't really care about.
Yeah, you start to need purpose, don't you?
Yes, but at the same time, I already had other small businesses in the industry asking me, you know, how are you collecting these kind of clients? How are you getting them? So I'd started a little bit of what I realized now was consultancy, but at the time it was just, can I pick your brain? Yeah, sure, let's go for a coffee. And so that was my last big event, I decided. And I moved from that into consultancy. So I moved into digital marketing consulting. My degree was in digital marketing and business management. And so I moved into consultancy. And from consultancy, I did really, really well, made lots and lots of money, helped people figure out how to grow their businesses online. But a year and a half ago, decided that I was fed up of telling people, because it's just become completely, it's just so hard for people to do it themselves now.
Yes.
It's just the barrier to entry is so huge. So I set up my company, current company called Clue, a year and a half ago, which just does it for people.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. 3 months of content in 3 days. I'm not going to say this to my social media guy. He might cry. I love this. So it is one of those things, isn't it, that when you start to grow businesses successfully, you have to become actually a good marketer. Because if you're not a good marketer, you're not going to grow your business unless you understand marketing and that you're a marketer. I somewhat, to my surprise, find myself as a marketer. I mean, I think I am, but on a different level. But it's nice to know that. But what you're saying, when I listen to what you're saying, the other thing that's coming to my mind is, if you look at the American elections at the moment and you look at Kamala Harris, the real unique thing Kamala Harris has done is how she's used social media and TikTok to talk about her campaign. And her content creator for TikTok, 26-year-old chick who I love forever, was sitting in this CNN meeting, kind of being interviewed on their strategy. And I loved it. I was like, yes, this is what we should do. But there's the Democratic National Convention happening at the moment. I love politics. There's the DNC happening at the moment in Chicago, and it's the first time ever that there's the press pool and then they have the content creator pool.
Yes.
They have their own status, they have their own space, and they have their own passes. And they have been invited. And I'm like, that is just the most frigging genius thing in the whole bloody world, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you actually look at it on a macro scale, you'll see that broadcasting power is moving very quickly away from traditional broadcasting methods, i.e. TV. And it's moved, you know, it had moved into Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, and now you're seeing a shift again into YouTube, TikTok, and within, you know, if you also look at what's happening with wearable technology, this is where I really geek out. within the next 6 years, you'll definitely see a shift from broadcasting power onto social media accounts. It was the same in the UK election. You know, they had the content creation pods sent to all of the counting. You just pop it up with a phone and a thing and you go, you're gone. It's really cool. It's an area of the world that I really find interesting, because you can have what you've touched on, you know, you can have the worst idea in the world, and as long as you market it well, you'll do well. Whereas I find there's so many people and businesses who have the best idea in the world and no one will ever know about it because they just cannot communicate it very well
on any level.
No. So that's why, that's where I get an absolute drive from for what I do, because I think it ties into the originalness of creating something out of necessity, but also moving it into something that I loved at the time. And now seeing that that's not really, without understanding of social media and content, it's not really possible. So I want to make it as achievable as possible for as many amazing businesses, instead of helping rich people spend their money on blue cushions.
We're going to go for a break on that wonderful statement, and we'll be back in a second.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. I mean, so when we came online, you said, I really like your content. I hadn't understood what a massive compliment that was from you. I'm really massive compliment. I'm really honored and thank you. I'm very grateful. But talk to me about Clue Content, because you have won awards, you have received funding, and you're basically badass ass-kicking type person in this area. You're like literally you're a force in this area. And I am constantly struggling with, I mean, they talk about how the fastest growing demographic in social media is you know, women from 40 to 55 type thing. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why you're doing that, because there isn't anywhere else that you can kind of get the information you're trying to get. And the news is just horrendous. And where else will you have the, and Instagram is just, do I look nice? And which annoys the shit out of me because I don't care. So it is just a place where people, I don't know how people don't understand the insane value in this, because all they'll do is hire an agency and say, off you go and fix it. And the agency doesn't know more than you do. They know things to try, but yeah. Why wouldn't you try? Like for me, my social, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that I noticed with this, with us, that my social media changed when I stopped doing things I didn't frigging want to do that made my head hurt and just started to talk and tell stories. And it was a complete sea change in what we were doing. So talk to me more about how what you do helps people be seen.
Yeah, so our strap is data-led, human made. So a lot of people neglect to understand that content is driven by humans, and we create content because a lot of people look at social media gurus. They say you have to have a hook, you have to have a call to action. You end up doing lots of stuff that feels very orchestrated, which, yes, there's points to it, but you're looking at, you know, the difference for Pepsi in like a 2% of their reach might be the fact that they used a hook. And that might have such a huge difference on the bottom of their sales. But trying to say the same thing to a small business owner who actually isn't doing the full thing right in the first place is lost on me. I hate social media gurus. But
yes, and it's so annoying.
Yes.
Because they don't, you pay them thousands, and it's not like they know any bloody better, honestly.
Yeah. You do just need to be a human. So inside of the company, we've developed out technology, which is where I've had all the funding for and a few of the awards for, whereby we research vast amounts of data. So if you look at social media can't be looked at in a vacuum. You have to understand people put that stuff onto social media. It's just like a blank piece of paper. And whatever's happening for humans outside of that blank piece of paper affects the way that people interact on the app. So whenever we work with clients, we analyze a huge amount of their historical data, competitor data, data and trends and things on social media platforms as well. But we also analyze what was going on in the normal world when they've posted stuff to understand a real full picture of how their audience actually interacts and why that human is interacting in a human way. And then when we come to create the content in terms of actually filming and creating the actual assets, we're very driven by what the data says in terms of what kind of conversations we could have at that time point. But it's very much a come to filming, we're going to do your makeup, we're going to feed you, we're going to...
Yeah, I'm just looking at you saying you literally do filming with them on sets.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's so that we can get the best out of them. So we will figure out what your favorite music is. We'll figure out what your favorite sweets are. We'll make sure that we play settle down music to calm your pace down, sweets to hype you up. And then we capture content around you just being you for the day. So talk to us about this and you just start chatting. We'll capture it. We'll do the hard work in turning it into what we need to.
I love that because also what you're doing is your event planning, but you're doing it for your client. You're literally event planning each bloody client.
Yes, I am. They are like run like events. We have a timing, we have food, we have makeup, we have producers, we have locations. Yeah, I think to get the best content out of someone that's going to perform the best, be most well received, you have to make sure that that person is in the best state of mind as possible. And in order to do that, you have to take care of them in the same hospitable way that you would at a well-made event.
So. No, it's really true, because when you're not comfortable filming or speaking to camera or doing any of those things, you know, it took me years to get comfortable doing it. Now I'll do it in my sleep. But having people turn up and then the camera's there and their eyes open up wide and they're like, you know, this thing. And you're like, just talk. And they're like, I can't do it. You know, so you're creating an experience, which is your event. That is so interesting. I love that. Do you make nice Long Island iced teas?
I've made one for years.
Like, do you just quietly get them hammered while they're there?
I do bring wine for certain clients.
I bet. You're like, be more chill.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest lightweight in the world. I'm like, I absolutely would drink a glass and then I'd be talking utter crap. What do you want to do? Who do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, and I'm not being offensive. I think about that about me. I'm like, I'm not sure. This is who I want to be when I grow up. Who do you want to be when you grow up?
So the big plan is to sell the company at 40 and then be able to turn around and invest in underrepresented groups. So I've had to hustle for so long, but getting investment into the company in the past year has transformed the ability of what I've been able to do and the impact. And I'd like to be able to do the same for other people. But in particular, I'd like to do the same for people who, like the girls in my hostel. So out of all the people I've ever met in my entrepreneurial journey, they were the most entrepreneurial. It was just directed in the wrong way. And they get shrouded in charity, which actually being taken bowling for the day doesn't friggin' help when you are selling your body and drugs. but actually, was to see those kind of girls as investments rather than charity and be able to give them the money they need, the advice, the mentoring they need to be able to create something of themselves, because they're never going to fit into good normal jobs because they're just not built that way. I think could do a lot. And I think that people who have a harder background probably understand the world, the problems of society much better than others. So I think
and that poverty isn't a disease or just a little accident. And if you just tried harder,
yes,
it's debilitating.
Yeah.
To be poor, right?
Yeah.
Having been rich and poor, I think I'll try rich. But let me tell you, man, that shit, you don't understand till you've been there.
No. So I'd like to be able to make effective change by being an investor, ultimately. But I'd like to be done when I'm 40, because it, as much as 40, some people doesn't sound... I had a podcast the other day. She's like, 40 is not very old. You could do more. You have to understand I started at 17. So actually, I'm already sort of 17.
It's elephant years, isn't it?
It gets tiring.
But I think also there comes that place that, you know, where the universe kind of goes, hold my beer, and then shoves you into another direction. Like with me, when I set up WCorn, I did all these things. I was like, I'm so happy. I'm doing really well. I finally earned this piece of peace that I've come to. And then I ended up doing stuff around impact and power. So there are obviously, you didn't get here by accident. You got here because, well, I have friends who say that there's the god of hustle, and I think she must be female. And so we, you know, the god of hustle is watching over you. I just love the having a god.
I love that.
You just love it. I just was like, I am keeping that concept and running with it. Yes. Because there's a god of hustle, and that chick is on our side, and she's right there. But when I look back, because I remember when we were homeless and it was me and the kids, that I didn't want to sell my body and I didn't want to marry for money. And both were available to me quite comfortably, and to marry for a lot of money, because I come from a very wealthy background. And I refused both those options because to me, they weren't choices.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like they were choices. So when you've put people in that space, particularly women, particularly mothers, in a place where there's that insane level of helplessness, where you think, I don't even know what my next step is there solid ground under my foot, right? Mm-hmm. It does change you completely in what you think you can and will do going forward. Yeah. And I don't think for when I look at someone like you, because I know what was true for me, but on my version of it, you have your version of it, that you will stop just because you hit 40. I don't think you'll stop because you get $1 billion for your company. What No. you end up doing is going to be an amalgamation again of all the skill sets you've picked up along the way, right?
Probably. I'd like to think at some point I'd be able to slow down a little bit though.
Yes. Mm. I actually never thought it would happen because I couldn't afford it. And that never left me, that sense that I could have to keep going. Then I got COVID for a year. And that really took care of that shit. I was like, boy, do I know how to slow down, because I just kept getting it. And I was like, okay, I give up. I'm going to slow down. And it's a completely different version of me that shows up, because you're forced into it, because your god of hustle kind of gives you another track to move on to. And you go from there. Anyway, it has been so much fun having you on. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the beginning of a friendship.
Yes, I'm definitely keeping you, just in case you were wondering, because that was just the best. I just loved meeting you, and it was absolutely fun. Thank you so much. How do people find you?
So just my name everywhere, Inge Hunter, it's Inge Hunter, or looking for Clue Content, which is the company.
Amazing. Well, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. And I have had the best time today. It was so much fun. I hope you enjoyed meeting Inge as much as I bloody enjoyed meeting Inge, because I do think that meeting people like her is the way that you understand that there is more, that there's just more, because bad shit happens to all of us. And sometimes it's really bad shit, and sometimes it's moderately bad shit. It's still bad, right? So when you look at somebody who takes that and then literally transforms their life off the back of that, to me, that's life-changing. It changes your mentality. It changes how you see yourself. It changes who you are, because it gives you opportunity. It gives you option. And if you can envisage opportunity and options for your life, I think you'll live a very different life. And that's my wish for you, that you have the best version of opportunities show up so that you can live in those opportunities. I hope that I'm not talking rubbish here, because ultimately what I mean is go off and have a really good life and call on the god of hustle whenever you may need her. Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you soon again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.